first time in his career, Mike Tyson hits the canvas. He's in big trouble. He may not be able to recover. It's up to seven and eight. He's not gonna make it. Champion of the world. This has got to be, if not the, one of the biggest upsets in the history of boxing. Buster Douglas, the new undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
February 11th, 1990, Mike Tyson, who at the time 37-0, Ike, you and I are perfect for this because I never thought anybody would ever come close to beating Mike Tyson. He had beaten everybody with relative ease.
Dude, I was shocked.
Yeah, this was one of the biggest upsets because Buster Douglas was just kind of the next guy that was going to get his ass kicked by Mike Tyson. Mm-hmm. He was a 42-1 underdog. The fight was in Tokyo, but this was the beginning of the end of Mike Tyson, to where
yes.
You know, Customato wasn't around for a number of years now, and things have kind of, you know, he had people around him that weren't advising him. He wasn't fully committed to boxing and all the other stuff.
Oh, yeah, way too many distractions. You know, Don King had became a bigger part of his life. So Mike wasn't the fighter. This was, like you said, this was the first.
The Robin Givens stuff was still fresh.
So you had all that stuff going on. This was the first window for us to see, oh, Mike is vulnerable. He can be beaten. And none of us thought Mike Tyson could ever be beaten. And I wasn't even a Mike Tyson guy.
Loved him.
You know, but I still remember where I was that night when that fight happened, you know, at home. Brothers, family, we're all around watching on a Saturday night. It's Mike Tyson.
Can't believe it.
It's an easy fight. Buster Douglas, Saturday night, nothing else on. February. Okay, we get to watch Mike Tyson knock out
another guy. That's what it was.
Some guy named Buster Douglas.
Yeah, I mean, he either would knock a guy out in no time, or he had fought a couple of guys like Carl the Truth Williams and Razor Ruddock that were so big, but Tyson didn't necessarily knock him out, but they couldn't beat him. There was nobody that was going to beat him. And then
he hadn't been in many tough fights.
Buster Douglas did. No, he hadn't. No, he really had.
We had never seen Mike Tyson hit like he was hit that night.
No, but
and you knew early.
It was going to be a fight.
It was hold on. This dude uncaught Mike Tyson with a couple good shots.
Tyson tried to stand up after he got knocked down, and he was trying to, with his glove, put the mouthpiece in, and it was like halfway in his mouth, and he was out on his feet. And it was over.
He was never the same.
Never the same after that. Nope. Never the same after
that. I actually love Mike Tyson more after his boxing career.
I agree with you.
Became more of a sympathetic figure. Wasn't the crazy Mike Tyson that we used to see.
You're going to eat your children and bite Holyfield. Even after all that, I still was like, oh, he's still going to beat Evander Holyfield. And then he couldn't beat Evander Holyfield. Yeah. He bit his ear off.
Wasn't training.
No.
Was living off reputation.
Holyfield would have beat him there then, too. Probably pretty easily. Is that one of the biggest upsets?
For me, yes. That may be the biggest upset I've ever seen. Mm. Yeah.
Because
any sporting event,
people will say like Lehigh and Duke and things like that. But as far as the magnitude of a heavyweight championship fight,
yeah, the first round of an NCAA tournament doesn't compare to a heavyweight championship.
So when I asked that question, and
what about Virginia versus UMBC?
Yeah, yes. 16 versus the one.
That's never happened before.
I agree, but it still doesn't carry
it's not a championship.
Jack, we're still talking about it 30 years later.
Right. We'll talk about UVA losing to UMBC 30 years
later. No, we won't.
Oh, yes, we will.
Yeah, but see, here's what you have to understand.
I didn't talk about it 30 days later.
That's because you're not.
I don't even.
I'm not focusing on the important thing.
The only reason I remember it is because it was just a couple years ago, right?
Exactly.
And John Brazier went there, and it's fun to make fun of him.
Oh, that was 2 years ago they lost. Yes.
And they won last year.
Yeah, redemption story.
Yeah, but Jack, like, here's why it is. It's a bigger deal than you think, because heavyweight boxing still back then was huge. That was huge. Mike Tyson was the biggest draw in sports.
Yes.
Right? It was the biggest draw in sports losing.
Imagine somebody being as big as Michael Jordan or bigger.
Bigger than Michael Jordan?
Yes.
At that time?
At that time he was.
Oh, that
yes.
was Mike Tyson.
Yes.
Because you got to remember, Jordan hadn't even won any titles yet.
It was the start of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan was just in the 80s, Jordan wasn't winning titles. It was about Magic and Bird.
Being the champ in boxing, being the heavyweight champion of the world, is the top piece in sports.
Cream of the crop. Yes, sir.
Muhammad Ali, yo, champ.
Everybody knows the champ.
Yeah,
yes.
The champ. The champ, I don't even know who the champ is now. I don't care.
Right? Tyson Fury? That's a big fight coming up in a couple weeks.
It is coming up in a couple weeks. So put it on Twitter, and if you want to add
my
it on
boy
the
boy, Deontay Wilder. Who was the receiver?
Who?
Deontay?
James Wilder?
Don't we have a receiver named
Deontay Burnett?
See, I told you.
Carol Burnett, right?
Yes.
Deontay Burnett. All right, so if you want to add it on your phone call, if you're on hold, or you want to tweet us or something like that, with the what would rival an upset of Tyson Douglas? I mean, I can't think of anything.
No.
What about Miracle on Ice?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I'd have to say, just if you took that in.
I'm so glad I was too young to remember that.
Me too.
I mean, I'm a refrain.
But, I mean, I'm you know, Cold War and everything else. You believe in miracles? Yes.
I just don't feel like
you're saying that's an overrated, underrated. Look at Ike.
I mean,
and Nova winning the tournament.
I mean, I get it, but it's kind of overplayed.
Is that right?
Because that's because it's a great call. That's why.
Yeah.
No, it was a bunch of college hockey kids that beat professional Soviets.
Okay.
Oh, it's never been done before.
That Soviet team played together for like 15 straight years.
Yeah. Okay. The Cold War.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Ike's not impressed.
And Kurt Russell. Who's the coach?
It's even worse, the movie. Kurt Russell.
Oh, I didn't watch
Kurt
the
Russell
movie.
It's a great movie.
That's the problem is you watch the movie.
Oh,
I knew
it's a
better.
Great movie.
No, it's not.
Just because you haven't watched a movie since 1989 doesn't mean it's not a good movie.
Kirk Russell playing, his name Herb Brooks?
Yeah. Herb Brooks, yeah.
No, thank
what's
you.
What's wrong with Kirk Russell?
A Disney movie?
Not a Disney movie.
It was a Disney movie.
I mean, it's not a Disney movie, though.
It's not a cartoon. Yeah, you're right.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Justin.
Shout out to the Flyers, man.
In
one
South
again.
Jersey. Oh, man. Just keep winning games. We won't talk a lick about you. The Sixers self-destruct. Justin in South Jersey. Hi, Justin.
What's going on? First time, long time.
What's up, brother?
What's up, Justin? Oh, this ain't Justin from Tennessee.
You got to trust the process.
You have to trust the process?
You there?
Yeah, I hear
you. You got to trust the process. Remember when LeBron first went to Miami with Chris Bosh and D-Wade, the media, the fans got on them so bad about being terrible before the All-Star break. And then the All-Star break happened. The team got together. They went on a crazy run. They won the championship that year. Or is that the year they lost to Dirk? But they did something, and I think there's a lot of talent on this.
Three Hall of Famers on the team. What are you talking about?
LeBron, you got Al
Horford, you got Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Harris is yet to be proven, but he's got some skill. They got a lot of talent on the Sixers team to be writing them off like this. And Embiid being only 25, you got to cut him.
I'm not writing off this season. I'm writing off Joel Embiid's 76ers career. He is finished here. He will never last here, dude. It's over.
He may not, but not because of him. That's us. We do this to everyone. We did it to Fultz. You see where he's at now?
Oh, we did it to
Iverson
Fultz.
Himself.
We did it to Iverson.
We
did it to Iverson?
We sent him to Detroit. We sent his ass to Detroit. You know it.
No, he actually went to Denver when he was already cooked, right? He was cooked. What do you
either
mean?
Either way, it was
probably had another year or two
a hard
in Denver.
Time.
But
he
was hold on a second.
Heroes,
Justin, hang on a second. He didn't go to practice, right? Like it was an issue.
That boy was on the floor every game playing against 7-8 footers.
All right, do we have a prize for the dumbest caller of the month, Justin? Whatever it is, you win it. Right, this is literally the dumbest call of the month, and you're a great 76er fan. What? I'm not telling you that you shouldn't root for your team. This literally might be the dumbest call of the month on this show, at least. I can tell you that.
Glad you're only proving my point that you guys make the worst calls and
beat
up people before you give them a chance to really make a statement here in Philadelphia. We get them all pissed off, so they want to leave. I'm ready to have a good team. We have talent. Why don't you want to keep them around? Support these guys.
I do want to keep them around. I'm not the one on Instagram or telling the crowd to shut the bleep up. That's Joel Embiid.
Right. Yeah.
We didn't create this, Justin. You know what? We could be talking about the Phillies right now. We could be talking about the draft or free agency. We could be talking about a number of different things. In Portland, Oregon today, they don't have to have a poll that says, would you trade this guy, and this guy for Joel Embiid? Mm-hmm. On all the shows today on ESPN and FS1, they don't have to be talking about Joel Embiid today.
Yep.
The reason they're talking about Joel Embiid today is because of Joel Embiid.
Yep.
Period. I'm not running Joel Embiid out of town. In fact, I feel like that you need one last shot. Bring people in here that can actually give you a shot to keep this guy and make it right. I don't think it's going to happen, but you can't go forward with Elton Brand and Brett Brown being your point people for this. It's never going to work. It's out of control right now. Let's go to Carl in Chester. Carl, how are you?
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's up, Carl?
Hey, hi. How you feeling?
I'm good, bro. What's happening?
My thing is, I think Brett Brown needs to get fired. And I don't think Elton Brand should be brought up yet. This is 2 years into his term, and we all acknowledge that there's a lot of talent on that team. So Elton Brand is missing one piece to me, a sharpshooter. Other than that or whatever, I think there's a great team out there. They favored to go to the championship because the talent is there. The problem is the coach, not the general manager.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. But here's where I'll give Elton a little bit of the responsibility. I don't know how much to give him, Carl, only because I don't know how much influence Brett Brown has had on the roster versus Elton working independently.
This might be a Brett production.
Yeah, exactly. This might be Brett Brown's influence. Remember, Doug Collins was pulling strings from the bench.
At the very least –
we had to pray for Andrew Bynum.
In the offseason and at the beginning of the season, you would at least, I think everybody would agree that Brett had just as much power or more power than Elton Brand in the organization. Like, Elton wasn't telling Brett who he was bringing in. If anything, it was a collaboration.
Mm-hmm. At least that's what I would think, yeah.
I mean, that would be what I would think.
Yeah.
I don't think Elton was single-handedly.
Well, Brett had no experience. Elton had no experience as a GM.
And Brett was running the team before they – I mean
– remember when the Colangelo thing happened? Brett was basically running the
Brett
team.
Brett might have said, let's bring in Elton. That would be a good hire.
No doubt. Because if I'm Brett Brown, why wouldn't I want to hire a guy like Elton Brand – did Elton Brand play for Brett Brown?
Yeah,
the one year, right? Yeah, when he came back.
He was totally cooked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But they came back to transition him to this. So I would imagine Brett Brown spoke up on behalf of Elton Brand to be the guy because Elton wasn't their first choice.
There's not a doubt.
He wasn't their first choice.
No, there's not a doubt that's the case.
They brought him down from the Delaware the Blue Hens?
No, the 87ers.
The Bluecoats.
The Bluecoats, not the 87ers. That's Delaware
Blue Hens.
University of Delaware.
That's the actual school.
Yes. Yeah, the University of Delaware Blue Hens. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Wilmington Blue Rocks?
Yeah, there you go, Wilmington Blue Rocks.
What's the deal with all the blue out there?
A lot of blue,
they're the first state, I guess.
I know they're the first state. Is okay.
Right. Exactly.
Yes.
It's going well.
Let's move on.
So let's throw this out there right now, and let's do it quickly so I want to get back to the phones. Ike, if you were going to the game tonight,
yes,
Joel Embiid gets announced, what do you do? And by the way, you're not a booer, and I'm not a booer.
Right.
Jack, are you a booer?
You know what? I got to be honest with you. I think.
So I'm giving him an ovation.
If I'm going down, you know what? Now, if you ask me what I would do versus what I think they will do tonight, they'll probably give him an ovation.
You think so?
Yes. They'll give him a chance to move past this. That's why I'm saying he had better not carry this on any further with shushing the crowd or any of that stuff.
They need to move. That needs to be moved on
immediately. They need to move on from that.
And if he gets booed tonight, that will not be moved on from. I guess that's what I'm saying is I worry that there's one more incident and this really goes.
Well, the only way they're going
to
boo if it's a bad game tonight.
Well, what about his introductions?
Cheer him in the introduction.
Either you should be indifferent or you shouldn't boo him.
Yeah.
And I'm not a booer. As much as people are, you hate Embiid, I wouldn't boo him because I boo performance. I boo lack of hustle. I boo not trying. I boo not caring. Sometimes I'll boo a result, right? Like grounding into a double play again at a game where you're down by a run. Like, yeah, I might give a boo, but I'm not booing somebody individually during the introductions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I don't think he does tonight. He got booed the other night during introductions.
And yeah, remember, but this feels delicate, you know.
Remember, this happened.
Delicate's the right word.
This happened with Ben in the playoffs.
Yeah. It did.
Last year.
He felt it, and he was upset about it.
Yes, and he talked about it after the game, and he said, keep the same energy.
Yep.
After the game. So, now, he didn't do the whole shushing the crowd. And
he made his point.
But he was clearly upset with being booed at home and didn't go as far as Joel or Al went, but he certainly wanted to let fans know that I heard the boos, I hear you.
Right.
When really what you should do is either acknowledge it and say either we deserve it or this is
– or just be like, listen, no one wants to be booed, but, yes. You know, I just got to keep doing what I'm doing is come out and play as hard as I can.
Dude,
and they just want to see a winner.
If Eagles players don't get offended when they're being booed on banner night
– oh, what, the first game after they won a Super Bowl at halftime?
Won a Super Bowl.
At halftime.
And we all watched All or Nothing.
And they got a sluggish start.
Yes.
In that game, and the fans let them know after sitting outside
terrible.
In a rainstorm and everything. Remember that? Because it was a,
there's a there's it delay. Was delay. It was like a 90-minute delay.
So, but you didn't hear players saying, making some snide remark.
But listen to us.
I remember Malcolm saying, well, playing like we played in the first half, I would have booed us too.
See, Malcolm had the perfect answer to that.
Yeah.
Was like, that's why he likes playing here, because you're always going to be on your toes, right? But listen to us talking about this right now. We're actually having a conversation to where if you boo him, he may not be able to recover from it. Think about
that. Well, that's
not
going to work here.
I guess that's my point. Yeah. We're delaying the inevitable. But I'm trying to manage the situation to get it to where then maybe you can figure this out. Mm-hmm. Let's see what Ron has to say. Ron in Coatesville. Ron, what's up? How are you?
Hey, Mark Sreese.
Ron. What's up, Ron?
Oh, man, I'm booing. Ooh. I'm booing. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm booing, man. You know what I need to see from Joel tonight? When he's announced, I need to see him go out there, put his hand to his ear like Iverson used to do, take all the boos in, run around the court, tap his chest like I own it, and then come up and throw 35 to 40 points tonight, and he gains my respect back.
Yeah, this is a game, Ron. This is a game to your point. The Clippers don't really have anybody that can guard Joel Embiid. Whether they put Montrezl Harrell down there on him, who can't guard him, or they put the Zubac kid they got from the Lakers down there to guard him. He's too slow to guard.
Matchup-wise, they're small, the Clippers.
Yeah, they're a small team. They don't have the trees.
And if Joel plays like we know he can play,
he should score 35 tonight.
The Sixers should win tonight.
Well, he should dominate.
Yes.
Like, he should individually. The thing about the Clippers, they got good perimeter defenders. So Tobias and Ben and these guys are going to have to get theirs against the likes of Kawhi and Paul George and the Morris twin.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus or Markeith?
I think it's Marcus.
It's Marcus Morris, yeah.
Yeah.
Marcus. Yeah, so you got to try to score against those perimeter guys. Oh, by the way, I didn't even mention Pat Beverly.
Yeah, no, and he's
he's a pit bull.
No, but like you said, it's a bad matchup for Ben tonight because Ben
everybody
has
on the perimeter.
These guys.
Yes,
yep.
But Embiid should dominate.
Yep.
He doesn't have anybody that can stop him.
Lines have been bet up to two, by the way. The Sixers are 2-point dogs tonight at home against the Clippers.
They were favorites yesterday. I thought they were 1-point favorites.
Well,
yesterday.
They're a point and a half, 2 points. But it's went up at a couple different spots, so there's
favorites or underdogs.
Underdogs.
So that means the Clippers have everybody playing tonight.
Listen, man, Joel Embiid.
Are they playing everybody? The Kawhi. Did they play in the last game? You got to check the schedule with Kawhi because it doesn't matter who the opponent is. If it's
it doesn't matter if it's national TV. They don't give a damn.
It does not matter. Kawhi may not be out there tonight.
Juan in Delco. Juan, what's up? How are you?
I'm well. I appreciate you asking. How you fellas doing?
All right.
What's up, Juan?
I'm all right. Look, I'm at the point where, you know, we waited for the process to begin. I don't mind waiting for it to end. Let me ask you this. Give me a little give and take. Do you feel he cares about his craft?
I think he does, yes.
Not his person, not his ego, not right. his
on his on his terms,
craft.
Yes. On his, like, on his terms and his mind,
I think
yes.
he does.
Yes.
Okay, do you see a light at the end of the tunnel where someone's going to come to a compromising middle ground? Because we got two alphas, and they just – they're two walls just slamming into each other.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, forward egos that, you know, don't want to divert. It's like two jets that no one wants to turn. So, like, you got to figure out something. But in the end, my big man is soft. He's too soft, you know, and it has nothing to do with the crowd and all that. He is too emotionally in tuned where he feels too deeply about too much when he's trying to play a game that's supposed to be joyful, fun, I mean, and almost create a love within himself. So my man is spinning right now. So we either got to help him or let him figure it out for himself. But you can't apologize for being us.
No,
like,
you're
if we
right.
don't know
no.
by now, we're booing the performance, not the totality. Then, like,
or
other
the
than
effort.
Drawing and crayon, what are you supposed to do?
Let me ask you this, Juan. Do you, like we know right
by
now.
By the way, Joel's been here, what, 5 years now?
He knows how it
he
works.
He should know how
yeah.
it works.
He knows
yes.
how it works. But, if I own the Sixers, if I'm Joshua Harris, this is how I'm looking at it. Because now Miami is right on the periphery of being a place like, oh, that would I'm sure he would like to go there. If Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid were playing for Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley, do you think things would look different right now? You think we'd be having the same chaos that we're having right now?
Joel.
Or Joel and Ben. If they're playing for those two right now, you think things would look a little bit different? You think the same chaos would be going on? You think the social media posting would be going on? I don't.
It might be.
I don't.
In my opinion, it might be a little tamer, but in the end, didn't LeBron not agree with Pat Riley and leave? So you can't tell me one of the best players in the planet didn't see eye to eye with an organization and left. You're going to tell me a guy who's never had tough love just going to automatically change for the better for it. But also give me one more thing.
Yeah.
Ben is out there every night. Whether 12 points or 30 points every night, hard. Like, you know what you got. You want more, but you know what you're getting when 2-5 steps on the floor. If you got question marks about your 7-foot-2 center, see, the thing about 7-foot-2 is you can't teach tall. So you're always going to have the biggest hope that you can get him where you want him to be, where he has the potential to be. But you know what you get with Ben. So, like, in my book, I rock with Ben. You got to get out of his way. And I'd rather hope that, look, I don't need
we got you. Well, listen, Juan, we got to run, but thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, for some people, it's always going to be Ben against Joel. It's not Ben against Joel anymore for me. It's it's about Joel. Can you make it work here to where, I mean, my worst fear right now is you're going to have to end up trading him for 25 cents on the dollar, and he's going to go to a place that the structure set up for him to succeed, and he's going to win. And doesn't mean that you can't succeed here, Ike, but the people in place need to be able to know how to grow it and build it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it boils down to. The sad part for me, maybe it's not even sad, but I guess the reality for me is that they're not winning anytime soon. And that's the thing that gets me. As a Sixers fan, you can continue to enjoy the rest of the season, see how this thing plays out. I know there are Sixers fans out there that'll say, you know what? I waited through the process. I earned the right to root for two stars that I patiently set by watching loss after loss after loss so that we have a greater chance of getting these caliber of players. And that'll be enough for me. If I can watch these guys throughout their career, then I'll watch enjoyable, competitive basketball. That's okay for some fans out there. I'm just saying I've already come to the conclusion that they aren't winning a championship together. So whether it's this summer, next summer, trading deadline, whatever it is in the future, the sooner the organization realizes it, the better off they're going to be.
Pat Beverly's out tonight.
Oh,
With a groin injury, so
okay.
That's good.
That loosens some things up.
Ben will have not as many turnovers against
right,
Kawhi.
Yeah.
Coming back, if you're headed down to the game tonight, how are you handling it? What are you going to do? We just had the one caller. I'd boo him, but he's not going down to the game. If you are, 888-729-9494, I just feel like it's over. Like I don't know how you can possibly salvage a relationship with a guy that just has no idea what he wants or what he needs or what he is. Marks and Reese, 888-729-9494. Back after this. Listen, if you're losing your hair, and listen, when it starts to happen, it sucks, right? You go to the drugstore. I did. This is what I did. I went to the drugstore, bought the sprays, tried spraying it. It was like, this isn't working, right? I tried shampoos that are supposed to unclog your follicles, creams. They have pills on the market today. Whatever it is, it probably hasn't worked for you. And I have something that does work. It's Dr. Glatt and his hair team. Over 20 years of experience. I had a hair restoration procedure over 8 years ago. Now, my results are amazing. You can go to my social media pages, John Marks Media. You can see any of my pictures. You can see before and after pictures on drglatt.com, drglat.com. If you have any questions, find me, DM me, send me an email. But it's the real deal. Dr. Glatt's the real deal, and it's an amazing procedure. In 2020, the year 2020, you can get your hair back with a simple medical procedure. Dr. Glatt and his hair team are the experts in the industry, and I recommend it. Call Dr. Glatt today, 610-980-4000, 610-980-4000. The website's drglatt.com, drglat.com.